Well, as we come to the preaching of God's Word tonight, as we take up again our series in the Psalms, we're looking tonight at Psalm 148. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find that on page 667. So Psalm 148, hear now the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. And He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. And the Lord bless the reading and now also the preaching of His word. As the psalm begins, in verses 1 and 2, we have the heavens are referenced. Everything in heaven is called to praise our God. And then skipping down to verse 7, praise the earth, or praise the Lord from the earth. We have all of God's creation encompassed in these two spheres, heaven and earth, these two bookends. As throughout the scriptures, when we see heaven and earth together, it's a reference to all that God has made. And indeed, this psalm is a call for everything God has made to give Him praise. All heaven and all earth is called to praise Him. As we look at the kind of the flow of this psalm, it begins in the heavens. It begins with a call to the angels to praise Him, all His hosts. It goes then to a call for the sun and the moon and the stars and the highest heavens. But then it kind of comes then to the waters above the heavens. This is a poetic way to reference the clouds that we see in our sky, seeming to float in the air on top of the heavens, the sky. We have this movement from the heights, the heavens, and it's coming down. And then as the earth is mentioned, we see the snow and the hail and the mist, everything that is in the storm clouds. We see the mountains and the hills, the fruit trees, the cedars, the beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, and kings of the earth and all peoples, princes, all rulers, young men and maidens together, and then ending with His people, His saints. So throughout the psalm, what's happening here is you have this wide angle that is then funneling in closer and closer in the various levels of creation, ending with this covenanted relationship that God has with the peculiar people in the earth, His people. And so this psalm, in a very beautiful way, calls us to praise God for two reasons. The first being that God is our Creator. As all these various things that God has made are called to give Him praise because He has given command and He has made them. But it distills down to the second reason why we as His people are called to praise Him. Because He has redeemed us. He has called us out of darkness into light. He has made this relationship with us. He has raised a horn for us. He has given praise for all His saints. We'll look at more in the second point tonight of what that phrase actually means. But the whole application that we're to take from this psalm is a twofold call to praise God. One, because he is our creator. And secondly, because he is our redeemer. And so, brothers and sisters, that's the application we'll be looking at tonight, that we are called to praise the Lord, for he is our creator and redeemer. And so, first of all, looking at this first part of that call to praise God, for he is our creator, we see in verses 5 and 6, again, after the angels are mentioned and his host, the sun, moon, and the shining stars, the highest heavens and the waters above the heavens, we have this call, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. We see in verse 5 that the Lord, and in verse 6, that the Lord has created these things by command. And that brings us back to Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let there be light, where God said, let these things come forth. Let us make man in our image. God, through his word, created. God, through his command, brought all these things into being. This is a reminder that the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, is powerful. And we see this reminder also in Psalm 29, that psalm that repeatedly over and over again gives us the great power of the voice of the Lord, and how it breaks cedars into two, and how it brings storms into being. It strikes fear into the deer or induces her to birth. It does all these things. The voice of the Lord is mighty and it is powerful. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 to 11, we read these words. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The Lord gave command, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. That final phrase, it draws us back again to the book of Genesis, but this time Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, this is the scene where the flood has subsided, the waters have receded, and Noah has built an altar to the Lord. And we read in chapter 8, verse 20, that Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. This may have been in the mind of the psalmist. As God, after having flooded the earth and Noah offering these sacrifices, the Lord makes a declaration that he will never do this again as far as a flood is concerned. And that while these things remain, that time will continue to march on. And that by his command, all these things are upheld. There is seed time, there is harvest, there is day and night, there is summer and winter and spring. These things will continue on. It is his decree. We see in verse 8 that there is fire, hail, snow, and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Again, it is his word that is being fulfilled. It is God's command that these things come about. When we read about storms that are coming, when we read about other parts of our earth that are facing various natural disasters, these are not just some random occurrences of a system that is trying to balance itself out for some various reason. But all these things happen at the direct command of God, at His direct decree. These things do His will. They are His desire, fulfilling His desires. And what these things all show us, as again, is that the Word of God is powerful. It is powerful. And in verse 6, the last part of verse 6, it says, "And it shall not pass away." What is it referring to? The "it" there. Is it not the decree, the command, the Word? It will not pass away. Jesus said this Himself in Matthew 24, verse 35, that heaven and earth will pass away, but My Word will not pass away. The Word of God is powerful. Consider Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. In these verses, the Apostle Paul says that, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation. And brothers and sisters, as we consider what the psalm is calling us to command God, or to praise God, because through His Word, through His command, He has brought all these things into being, and He has established all these things. As we approach the Word of God, do we realize what we are holding in our hands? Do we stop and do we take a moment to realize what we have free access to? That this is the Word of God written. This is the sword of the Spirit that has, by the Spirit's power, the ability to cut through bone and marrow, to divide us, to pierce us directly to the core of our being, and to change us. To change us. This is the Word of God, and it is powerful. It is not just a book. By the Holy Spirit, it is His tool to shape us and to mold us and to make us more and more into His image. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and the new has come. As the Word of God spoke into darkness and created light, so now the Word of God speaks into the darkness of our hearts and makes us new creatures. And it renews us by the work of the Holy Spirit into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our Creator, and He has made us a new creation in Christ. And so we're called to give praise to our Lord because He is our Creator. And this did overflow a little bit into the second point, which is to give God praise because He is our Redeemer. So, as we consider this psalm and everything that God has made is being listed out and called to praise Him, you know, there's an interesting balance here in the psalm, as through the first 8 verses, the word praise is before all these things. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise Him all His angels, praise Him all His hosts. But then after verse 8, from 8 on, we have the things mentioned without any call to praise. And we're like waiting for it. And we're anticipating it. And then at the end, it says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted, His majesty above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints." So we're called to praise the Lord our God. And again, because He is our Creator, as we looked at in the first point. But these verses, verses 13 and 14, connect us to the victory that God has won. And the victory that He has won is seen in that His name alone is exalted. He is above all things, yes, as Creator, but He is also above all things in that He is the one who has triumphed over all His enemies. Now, we see this in Psalm 108. In Psalm 108, verses 7 to 9, we read these words, and these near the exact words are also in Psalm 60, verses 6 to 8, where we read in Psalm 108, verses 7 and 9, God is promised in his holiness. And then he says, this is God speaking, "With exaltation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I cast my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph." It's a picture of the victory that God has had over the enemy of his people and his enemy. And these victories picture for us that ultimate victory that was prophesied by God himself in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That the seed of the woman would have his heel bruised by the seed of the serpent, but that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. We also see this in the Exodus, about how God was making his name known through the judgments that he brought on Egypt. And we see throughout the pages of Ezekiel, as God is pronouncing judgment upon his people and upon those nations that have afflicted his people, that they will know that he is the Lord through these judgments. All of these judgments of God, all of the victories that he had over his enemies, are all for the purpose to declare and to make known the exalted name of the Lord our God. But as I said, this psalm, as it starts from what is up in the heavens and then begins distilling down, it comes to a tight funnel around his people. And we read in verse 14, "He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints. The people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord." Again, the horn in Scripture is a symbol of might, symbol of power and strength, usually refers to kings and kingdoms. And so what we have here, as a horn is raised for his people, we have a king that is raised for his people. And that king is our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who through his sacrifice was then laid in the tomb. Death could not contain him, but he arose victorious and ascended on high. He is our horn that has been raised. He is our king. He is our salvation. But as we see in verse 14, there's also this phrase that says that God has raised up praise for his saints. So what does this praise mean, praise for his saints? I'd like to look at a couple of passages. First of all, in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning in verse 20, we read, "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. And by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven." So what is the praise of God's people? According to Moses in chapter 10, verse 21, God himself is our praise. The other passage that I want to look at is Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. We'll look at verses 14 to 18. But here in Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 14, this is Jeremiah praying to God. And he says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Behold, they say to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come.' I have not run away from being your shepherd, nor have I desired the day of sickness. You know what came out of my lips was before your face. Be not a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction. So again, we have in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14, you are my praise. So when we come then back to Psalm 148, and we see here that he, God, has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints. What I believe that phrase refers to is this covenantal relationship that God has established with us. You know, our boasting is not in who we are, our boasting is not in our abilities, but the praise that we have and the boasting that we have is in the Lord our God himself. He is our God. He is our praise. The Deuteronomy passage is in the context of Moses recounting the wondrous works that God has done in delivering them from Egypt. And it's in the call to have their hearts circumcised and to be in that right relationship with God from the heart. Jeremiah, out of distress, is calling upon God, and his call is established and based upon this relationship that he has with God, established by God. God himself is our praise, and that's confirmed the more as the next phrase says, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Who are near to him. We're called to praise the Lord in the final phrase because of this relationship that God has brought us into with himself. As this psalm is narrowing down and ends on this particular relationship of God with his people whom he has redeemed. So we're called to give God praise because he is our Redeemer. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider this psalm, in Psalm 148, it's a psalm that reminds us of the great power of God in his word, as he has given command and things were created. And he has given a decree and things are established. And his word, though heaven and earth pass away, will not pass away. It is powerful. It cuts to the core. And those who are truly, through the work of the Holy Spirit, confronted with the word of God, will be changed. And this distills down in the ultimate change that we have through God's promises and the covenant relationship that we have. As he is our God, he is our praise. He has raised up the horn of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for these two reasons, brothers and sisters, let us give the Lord our praise. Because he is our creator and he is our redeemer. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word. May it, Lord, impact us and change us as we come before you to read your word, to meditate on it, to sing it, to pray it, to hear it preached. We pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, your word will change and renew us in the image of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us into a relationship with yourself through the horn of our salvation, Jesus Christ, our King, in establishing yourself as our praise in this relationship that we have with you. May we, Father, give you praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.